Wings of Chaos. Chapter 2. Encounters with Lightning. Shale awoke to the sound of howling dogs and cries in the distance. There were harsh shouts and high-pitched screams. She scrambled out of bed and dressed, donning her leather armor and picking up her weapons. She tore open the door and saw some of the others she had met that night, standing in the hallway, looking around in confusion. The tiefling was standing there in only his undergarments. "It's happening," he said, and ran back to his room to dress. "Why is he in his small clothes?" Philip asked casually, combing back his hair. Philip was standing there, completely nude. Shale and Ozarin shared a look, and Ozarin followed Reverence into his room. "Now is the time to tell us what in the nine hells is going on," the half-elf growled. Reverence ignored him as he dressed, and Ozarin turned to Shale. "Come on," she said, and he nodded. They ran downstairs for the door of the inn, which was wide open, Keelan, the fire worshipper, just behind them. The town of Greennest was ablaze. Several homes smoked, others burned, and arrows flew out of the darkness. Bells began to ring in the town center, and chaos filled the night air. Shale drew her longbow and notched an arrow, then continued to run, searching for enemies. Groups of guards shouted at villagers, "Make for the keep! Make for the keep! Grab your children and run!" Shale grabbed the arm of a guard as he ran past. "What's happening? What is it?" she demanded breathlessly. He shook his head. "We're under attack. Scaled creatures." The man looked terrified, but determined. "We are moving everyone to the keep." Shale nodded and released him. "Thank you." She continued to run until she reached the edge of town, where the screaming was most chaotic. There she found the creatures in question. Kobolds. More of them. What were they all doing here? Kobolds didn't live in this region, not in these numbers. She dropped her suspicions for the moment, and instead raised her bow, aiming it at a nearby kobold as it ran after a villager. It was a man running with a child in his arms and another grasping his hand. The creature leaped and tore into the man's back as he fell. "No!" she cried. She was too far away. She ran desperately, tears in her eyes as she saw a woman, screaming, run out of a nearby house with a spear. Closer now, Shale raised her bow again and released an arrow into the scaled creature's throat, which fell on impact. The woman threw herself over the man's body, gathering the children in her arms and weeping. Shale continued to run toward them. Blasts of magic, stray arrows, and javelins soared through the air around her, some striking enemy flesh, others hitting villagers, and many yet which missed their targets entirely. Just as she came up to the family, Whisper released a bolt of fire, which struck another kobold that was emerging from the darkness. It shrugged off the assault and threw something back at the tabaxi, which exploded midair and sent Whisper and Ozarin, who were near him, flying back. The orange tiefling, Reverence, came up to the family just as Shale was assessing the man's wounds. Huge slashes cut across his back, and he was losing blood quickly. "Here," Reverence said, gently pushing everyone out of the way. He placed a hand on the man's wounds, and with a warm yellow light, they slowly began to close. When he stood, the man was unconscious but alive. "Thank you," the woman said, throwing her arms around him. The tiefling awkwardly extricated himself from the embrace, and the woman, teary-eyed, coaxed her children forward. The howls and grunts of kobolds reached their ears from across the way, somewhere hidden in a dark alleyway. Shale set another arrow and released into the darkness, hearing the arrow strike one of the creatures, which howled in pain. Ozarin was there, bleeding from the forehead. He tossed one of his two maces at Reverence's feet. The tiefling was currently wielding a broken chair. Both took up arms and ran past into the alley. Keelan ran after them, warhammer raised. Whisper was crouched on the roof of a nearby building, watching the assault and shouting words at the kobolds in a guttural language Shale did not recognize. Philip ran from an open house and came up to Shale. "Is he all right?" he asked, gesturing to the still unconscious man. "He's alive, but still not looking good," she told him, and the half-elf crouched over the man, his glowing hand hovering over his body. He whispered a phrase, and the man's eyes fluttered open. "Let me," Shale said, ducking under the man's form and lifting him on her shoulder. The woman took his other arm, and, with the children following, they slowly made for the road. "We need to get to the keep," Shale said, and Philip nodded, running ahead to tell the others. The fight raged around them, but Shale refused to leave this family behind. Save them first. The smaller of the two children reached up and clutched her hand as she helped drag their father through the burning town. A red-bearded dwarf stood at the doorway of the keep, quickly ushering everyone inside. A fair amount of townsfolk made it in unscathed, but there were others yet who carried grievous wounds, and even a few who were too pale and still, and they had family members weeping over their bodies. Shale helped the woman sit her husband down in a corner of the main room and release the hand of the youngest child. The woman nodded to her gratefully, and the small family huddled together, anxious but secure. Whisper followed them in and handed one of the children his ball of yarn. After a moment's hesitation, the child took the ball and smiled timidly. Shale found a guard near the entrance who was making for the door. "Excuse me," she said, walking with him. "Do you know where we can stand if we wish to fight?" The guard looked genuinely surprised. "Yes, yeah. We will take any fighters we can, anyone who can bear arms." "Bear arms?" Whisper asked, and suddenly an illusion fell over his arms so they appeared to be massive, furry bear paws. After a moment's pause and a long look at the tabaxi, the guard said, "Here, talk to Escobar." He gestured to the dwarf at the front of the keep, then turned and ran off to organize a new group of arrivals. She approached the dwarf next, Whisper following her and holding out his bear arms, so passerbys glanced over in confusion amidst the frantic flurry of people. "Whisper, you shouldn't do that," she hissed to him. "It's insensitive." "Insensitive," he repeated, and the illusion dissipated. The gruff dwarf sent them to the armory to be equipped and invited them to head upstairs to see the governor for instructions. "You look to be a skilled fighter," he told Shale, then looked over at Whisper, Keelan, and Ozarin. "All of you, grab what you need and go upstairs." They all nodded and made their way to the armory just as Reverence stormed upstairs, red eyes ablaze, Philip trailing behind him curiously. "There is an underground tunnel that leads to the river. They currently have the temple barricaded with goddess knows how many souls inside. If you follow it through, it should take you around the back of the temple." The governor, Tarbal Nighthill, stood wearily at the top of the keep overlooking the town of Greennest, a large gash on his upper arm and burn marks at the fringe of his robe. He had hastily donned a breastplate over his robe, and it made for an odd sight. There were a few buildings in the distance now, fully ablaze, and the far-off temple was surrounded by a cluster of people, and smoke was rising from it. "Are you up to the challenge?" Without a thought, Shale nodded and shared a glance with Keelan. The young human nodded back. "Let's not waste any time. We should leave now." The two of them went for the stairs to the bottom of the keep, near the now barricaded entrance. "Forgetting something?" Philip said smugly, dangling a large set of keys at the tip of his finger as he rushed down after them. "Come on," Keelan said in annoyance. "Where is the entrance to the secret tunnel?" Shale asked.
"Well, if you had stuck around, you might have found out for yourself," Reverence said lazily.
They said nothing in reply. "It's this way." Philip led the way back through the armory and down another passage. Ozarin appeared and followed them, drawing Shale to the back of the group.
"We need a plan if this is going to work," the half-elf told her intently.
"Right," Shale nodded, taking in the motley group of companions she had acquired.
"Wait, where's the tabaxi?"
Ozarin rolled his eyes.
"The cat crawled over the side of the keep."
"Over the side? Why?" she asked. He shrugged as way of answer. Tabaxis were, everyone knew, rather strange creatures. This one, though, seemed to be especially odd. The entrance to the tunnel was in the dankest part of the keep's basement. Reverence and Ozarin devised a plan to walk in separate groups, and they all agreed as they made their way into the damp darkness, water sloshing underfoot. Keelan lit a torch for himself and Shale, both having the eyesight of humans. It couldn't compare to that of an elf's or even a half-elf's, and definitely not compared to a tiefling. It was said that tieflings were descended from demons, so dark was their mistress. Shale knew little of them, but she also took little stock in fables. Philip and Reverence took the lead. 10 feet back, Keelan walked alone with his torch raised high. A simple spell cast by Reverence kept the torch dimmed so as to light their footsteps and nothing else. 10 feet behind him walked Ozarin and Shale. They walked for several minutes in silence.
"Wait," Ozarin said quietly, setting a hand on Shale's shoulder. "I hear voices up ahead."
"Voices?" she hissed. "Draconic. It must be more kobolds." He nodded and quickened his pace to catch up to the others.
They culminated in a group near the large grate at the end. It was fastened with a rusted lock, and after a few moments' struggle with the key, Reverence gave up.
"Here, let me mend it," Philip said, pushing to the front and casting a simple spell over the iron, waving his piece of bark through the air.
"Try it again," he told the tiefling. As he moved back, he kicked a rock, and it went clattering to splash across the tunnel floor. Everyone froze, listening. There were low grunts in a foreign language.
"They're coming. Hurry," Ozarin told them, grabbing the keys roughly out of Reverence's hands.
He jiggled the key in the lock, and after a moment, there was a click. The grate swung forward.
"Get back,"
the half-elf hissed, and they all threw themselves against the tunnel wall with held breaths. Just then, outlined by moonlight, appeared a massive, lizard-like shape. A drake. It stepped cautiously, sniffing, then turned its shoulder and growled, beckoning a few kobolds to its side. Then, a roar.
"It's seen us,"
Shiel thought desperately, knocking an arrow to her bow and taking aim. She released, and a fresh arrow sprouted from the beast's shoulder a second later. She threw herself against the wall again and knocked another arrow. Everyone else jumped into action. Reverence was as fast-moving as he had been all day. The orange tiefling leaped at the drake with a mace, which glanced off the scaled armor and rounded with a jab of his fist, striking the creature near the wound in its shoulder. It swiped at him, but he danced away, and Keelan took the opportunity to run up with his warhammer, the torch left forgotten against the tunnel wall, and drove it up with all his force into the drake's lower jaw. The hammer crushed its skull with a single blow, and the creature crumpled. The three kobolds, which had been slinging rocks into the tunnel, saw their fallen leader and ran. They gave chase, Philip taking out a scimitar and slashing into the back of the slowest one as it tried to escape. The creature stumbled but continued to run, and Ozarin released a blast of magical energy into the air, which narrowly missed the kobold. Still running, Shiel tried to shoot her bow, but it soared into the darkness and her feet stumbled on the slick river rocks. She regained her footing and jumped to the riverbank, splashing through mud as she drew her swords instead. Reverence dashed ahead of her and knocked down two of the three kobolds with a swift kick and a swing of his mace. The last kobold disappeared into the darkness. Keelan heaved a javelin in its direction, but it landed in the river, void of its target. The young man swore and crawled from the river, all of them soaked and annoyed. With a final breath of hope, Philip shot a rock from his sling at the fleeing creature, but Shale's human eyes could not see the result.
"Come on, we need to get to the temple," Ozarin told them.
Suddenly, a human dressed in patchwork armor appeared at the riverbank and, spotting all of them, drew his sword. Ozarin reacted first, firing a beam of crackling cold energy at the man and sending him stumbling back. The man grabbed his torso just as a bolt of fire hit him from behind. The flames coursed up his body, sending an inhuman scream of terror and pain into the air. The stench of burned flesh filled the area as the cries fell short and the body collapsed, blackened.
"Fire,"
Whisper said matter-of-factly, appearing from behind his fallen victim.
"Thanks for joining us," Philip said, climbing up the riverbank with the rest of them.
"Look," Keelan pointed across the field at the stone temple. A group was crowded around it, and a small fire was being stoked against the wall. They were going to burn the people inside. The thatched roof above was smoking, and there were figures assembling around a battering ram, ready to smash down the door. Keelan held out a hand, and a few darts of orange light flashed from his spread fingers and shot into the chests of Reverence, Ozarin, and Philip.
"Thanks,"
Reverence said, holding his chest.
"What was that?"
Shale asked, having been untouched by the light.
"Healing spell.
It's not much, but it'll do the trick for those who are injured in the tunnels," Keelan told her, hoisting his warhammer. "Let's go."
Whisper began swirling his hands through the air and chanting in another language. Philip took out a handful of stones and placed one in his sling. Reverence cracked his neck, tail swishing in anticipation. Ozarin gripped his mace, and Shale twisted the two swords in her hands.
"Let's kill some motherf—"
The heavy flap of leather wings filled the sky. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. A piercing roar filled the air. Then, a huge streak of lightning crackled and lit up the sky, and before them, Shale saw a nightmare come to life.
"Dragon,"
Keelan cursed as the outline of a massive beast appeared above them. The dragon's wings beat through Shale's chest as it flew past the temple, then glided back toward the keep. A bolt of lightning flew from its gaping maw and struck the side of the keep, pulling free stone and releasing the distant cries and shouts of soldiers. The six companions, an odd grouping of humans, half-elves, a tiefling, and a tabaxi, all watched the destruction from afar. Enemy humans and kobolds were standing at the front of the temple, quickly hacking away the branches of a fallen tree to make a battering ram. On the side nearest them was another group of mixed enemies.
"I can put the fire out with a spell that commands water," Philip whispered to the group.
Shale nodded. "That's a good idea, but we have to move quickly. We don't want to be heard." Whisper looked around at the conversation and thrust a paw to the ground, releasing a mist of magic. The magic shot along the ground at an incredible speed, then swirled and coalesced around the five beings. Suddenly, one by one, all but one collapsed into the grass without another sound. They were asleep. Whisper stood and shot a firebolt at the same moment as Philip shot a stone, and Shale released an arrow at the last remaining human. Shale's arrow struck home, and the man collapsed. Whisper ran up and made quick work of those who were unconscious. A swipe of sharp claws into exposed throats. Shale ran up to retrieve her arrow, the others also ducking low and making their way to press themselves against the temple wall. Whisper dug into the stone and began to climb, disappearing over the roof of the building. Shale could hear him pulling at the thatched roof. Philip crept along the wall and motioned for them to look at the group creating the battering ram. Nearby was a tall man in black plated armor issuing commands, and they bent to lift the large tree. Suddenly, a blast of fire flew from the roof and hit the battering ram, momentarily bathing the bark in flames. The men and kobolds threw it down and drew their weapons, eyes up. Philip placed a stone in his sling and shot at the leader. The stone clanked off the man's armor. Another firebolt shot from the roof at the same man, who raised a plated arm, catching the brunt of the heat. Their hiding place now apparent, Keelan and Reverence rushed out, as Shale shot an arrow at one of the humans, who ripped it free, causing blood to splatter across the ground. Before the human could react to Shale, Keelan crushed his skull with a blow from his warhammer. Keelan spun on his heel and struck at another human, who just barely managed to raise his shield in time. A kobold pulled out a dagger and stabbed it into Keelan's thigh as he pounded against the human's shield. Keelan nearly dropped his hammer as he turned to face his new attacker. The dagger was jammed hilt deep into his leg, and he tore it out and cast it aside with a grunt, blood issuing from the gaping hole. As this was happening, Reverence faced the man in the black armor, passing a flurry of mace and fists through the air. Philip drew a scimitar and took his stance next to the tiefling, battering him. They were wearing the man down, but he was quick despite his heavy-plated armor. The man was barking orders while defending against two opponents. Shale saw another human run past the opposite side of the temple, disappearing from sight before she could take aim. Instead, she fired an arrow at the man's back, but his armor was thick and well-made, and it ricocheted off. She swore and found another mark. Ozarin ran into the fight, his body aglow with his writhing armor, and shot a blast of green energy at a group of kobolds, who scattered. Another bolt of fire shot down from the roof of the temple and hit one of the humans defending against Keelan. Around the opposite side of the building, three more kobolds appeared. The human that had run in that direction appeared a moment after his allies. The kobolds started flinging stones with their slings at a deadly speed. Philip barely managed to dodge one as he swung his scimitar at the black armored man, but another stone caught him in the shoulder, causing him to stumble back in surprise. Keelan was surrounded. The human shouted something, shaking his warhammer at the circle of kobolds and humans, but they moved quickly. As a kobold fainted in his direction, the man in the black armor ran through Reverence and Philip and slammed into Keelan, throwing him to the ground. The strongest of their group, Keelan, lay there, unmoving as the black-armored man stood over his unconscious form. Reverence leaped after him and struck with his mace over and over again, cracking the man in the black armor over the head and sending his helmet flying. With a final punch to the head, Reverence took their leader to the ground. Another human ran up from the other side of the temple, but froze when he saw this fallen leader.
"Fall back!"
he yelled to the others, and the kobolds chattered in their strange, guttural language, a few stumbling away from the fight. Ozarin took out another enemy with his mace as he fled. Philip placed a hand over his chest, and a white light spread through him, healing his wounds as he parried a strike from a kobold. Another blast of fire came from the roof and grazed the kobold where it stood, quickly followed by an arrow from Shale's bow. It hit the spine, and the kobold collapsed, its short sword thumping to the soft grass. The other fleeing enemies turned for one last bout of ranged attacks. A volley of stones flew from slings, hitting Philip, Reverence, and Ozarin where they stood and forcing them to hide their faces. Shale still hid in the shadows, and she couldn't see the enemies well enough to aim as they ran off into the darkness. A kobold jumped from seemingly nowhere and struck Philip over the back of the head, and the druid went limp. Reverence half ran, half crawled to Keelan where he lay and turned him over. His dark hair was matted with blood. The monk whispered a spell over the man's body. Ozarin and Whisper were still casting spells at the fleeing enemies as Shale ran up to the unconscious Philip and tried to diagnose his injuries. Reverence joined her on the ground and whispered a spell over Philip, who seemed to breathe easier. Both Keelan and Philip were still unconscious, however. "We need to get them inside," Shale told the tiefling, running for the barred temple doors. She knocked frantically. "Let us in! We've just taken out the enemies and two of ours are injured." No response. "Please," she shouted, knocking more furiously. "Who are you? What do you want?" a voice demanded from behind the door. "We were sent by Tarbaugh and Escobar to free you. We did a really great job at killing all these humans and kobolds, but two of our people have been badly hurt. We need healers, and we need to get you all to safety." She couldn't keep the frustration from her voice. A moment passed, and Shale felt a flicker of panic. Then there was the sound of something heavy being moved, and the door was pulled open. Before her stood a tall, elderly half-elf in priestly robes. "Thank you," the man said, surveying the bodies strewn outside the temple. "Please, come in. Men, help them carry their injured." A few of the larger villagers rushed through the doors and assisted Reverence and Ozarin in carrying Philip and Keelan into the temple. Whisper slipped in behind them, having climbed off the roof. There were at least 20 villagers inside the temple. Stone benches lined the long room, and a huge shrine stood at the forefront of the temple, displaying various artistic renderings of agriculture. Torches flickered in sconces along the wall. "Do you have any healers?" Shale asked the priest. "Not here," he said, hurrying to Philip and Keelan's bodies, which had been laying on the floor side by side. He pressed a hand to each of their necks, checking for a pulse. Shale put a hand on the priest's shoulder. "We need to get you and the villagers back to the keep. We have the keys to a hidden tunnel that will bring us underneath the village. Hopefully we can find healers once we're there." When he nodded, she added, "Do you think you could get a few of your strongest to help carry our companions? It will give us a chance to fight and defend you if need be." He nodded again, ushering the same villagers forward who had helped drag Keelan and Philip into the temple. "What is your name?" she asked him. "Edian Falconmoon," the half-elf responded, sounding exhausted as he stood. Whisper padded over to Shale. "Back door," the tabaxi said, pointing to the opposite end of the room. Ozarin had come up to them as well. "We should send a couple out, ahead, to scout the way. We'll go through the back door and run like nine hells for the tunnel." "Who has the key?" Shale asked, and Reverence produced a ring of keys from inside his robe. The tiefling was ragged, a huge gash on his forehead smearing blood across his orange skin. "Do you have any weapons?" Ozarin asked the priest. "We need alms, as many as you can muster." Whisper produced an illusion before them of a pile of human arms stacked neatly on the floor. A few of the villagers jumped back, and a young girl cried out in shock. Eden shook his head, looking around at the frightened villagers, confused by the display. No, not really. They're farmers, not fighters." Ozarin nodded, his thoughts confirmed. "Whisper," he said, and the tabaxi made his illusion disappear, eyeing the half-elf intently. "You and Shale will run ahead of the group. Take a torch." He pulled one from his bag and gestured it at the torches along the wall, "and make sure the path is clear. If any enemies are nearby, we'll need you to draw them off and we can help you fight them. Our main priority is to get these villagers to safety." He looked at the tiefling. "Reverence and I will protect you from the back." "Okay," Shale said, mustering a grim smile. "Let's do this." She ran over and lit the torch, joining Whisper by the back door while Ozarin explained his plan to the people. Eden unlocked the tiny door and they pushed it open, scanning the grounds around the temple. "Good," Whisper whispered, and they shot off into the dark, the villagers trailing about 10 feet behind them, flanked by Reverence and Ozarin. Shale held the torch tightly in one hand, the light guiding her footsteps forward. They ran along the riverbank as quietly as they could, the torchlight dimmed by Reverence's spell so as to not draw too much attention. There was a loud splash and a shout, and Shale spun around to see an older man, one of the villagers, had slipped and fallen into the rushing water. A woman next to him hurriedly helped him to his feet, and Ozarin held up his hand in the back to quiet them. They all paused, listening.
"Jeremy! Oi, I think I heard something."
It was a man's voice.
"Here, by the river."
They crouched down by the riverbank, and Shale thrust a torch into the sand. Ozarin peeked over just as a human figure appeared. The half-elf shot a blast of green energy from his hand, the snake on his arm glowing. The blast hit the man in the chest, and he stumbled, swearing.
"Jeremy!"
he squealed. As the second man, Jeremy, appeared with a torch in hand, Shale shot an arrow through his neck, ending him. The other man stared at his fallen companion and swore again, turning to run. Whisper shot a firebolt, but it sailed over the man's head as he ran. He rolled through the grass just as Reverence threw a dart at him, and Ozarin shot a final blast of green light at the man, hitting him as he tried to stand and forcing him to one knee. That momentary flash of light was all that Shale needed as she pointed and shot. Her arrow hit the man in the ear, burying itself deep in the side of his skull, dropping him.
"Nice shot," Ozarin nodded approvingly, as she headed back to the front of the group.
"You too," she said. She retrieved the torch from the fallen men, which still burned slightly in the grass, and held it before them. "I see the tunnel entrance," she said. And two by two, they ducked through the metal grate and into the damp tunnel. Once everyone was through, Whisper cast an illusion of a large boulder in place of where the door was. Shale splashed ahead through the tunnel, the flickering flames from her torchlight casting shadowed figures over the rugged stone walls. The keep was crowded and filled with terrified villagers, bleeding men and women and crying children. Groups of soldiers ran through the crowd asking for able-bodied fighters.
"Please, are there any healers?" Shale called out as they emerged from the hidden passageway.
The men that were carrying Keelan and Philip placed them gently on the ground.
"Healers?" Shale asked again, catching the eye of a young soldier as he passed. Healers, yes, yeah. We have some healing potions, but they're not very potent."
He gestured to a middle-aged couple, a man and a woman, both with dark hair and eyes. They rushed forward and bent to administer the healing potions to Keelan and Philip.
"Thank you," Ozarin said, as their two companions sputtered to consciousness. "I know this is not the worth of a healing potion, but I hope this will help."
He passed the woman a couple of large gold pieces.
"It's not necessary, sir," she told him.
"Please take it." She bowed her head and tucked the gold away. Shale helped Keelan stand, and Ozarin put a hand to Philip, who took it gratefully. They were alive, but just barely by the looks of it. Reverence found a spot on the floor and slid down the wall to sit. He looked to be in terrible shape, just barely clinging to consciousness. The walls of the keep shook, and a few pieces of dust fell from the ceiling. There was an all-encompassing roar again, as the dragon above loosed a crackle of lightning.
"We need to get up there," Shale said, and Whisper nodded excitedly.
"How are we supposed to fight a dragon?" Ozarin demanded, wiping sweat from his face.
"I don't know," she answered, "but there's no use staying down here. The three of us," she gestured to herself, Whisper, and Ozarin, "can still fight. The way I see it, we can either die down here or up there."
"I choose to die down here," Philip mumbled,
sitting down next to Reverence, who was half asleep already.
"I'm going to find the dwarf and ask him what their plan is, if they have one."
Ozarin shook his head.
"They won't. They're not organized enough for this assault."
"Then, friend," Shale said, patting the half-elf's arm as she passed him to go up the stairs, "you'll have to come up with one."
"Yes, good at plan," Whisper agreed, then bounded up the stairs past her.
Shale ran to follow him, Ozarin just behind her, grumbling as they went. Shale was grateful to have someone in their party who knew something about fighting. At least, Ozarin seemed to know a lot. He usually had some plan up his sleeve. She herself had never seen a proper battle, nor had she fought a dragon. Escobert stood at the top of the stairs, handing out shortbows to young men and women and sending them through the hatch.
"We can fight this dragon," the dwarf was saying, offering encouraging nods to those who passed. "We will defend Green Nest. We will defend our people and our lands."
"What can you tell us about this dragon?" Shale asked as they reached him. "Have you any plans on how to fight it?"
The dwarf rubbed a hand over his weary face.
"It's a blue dragon, fully grown if I can guess it right. Our best strategy right now is to throw as much at it as we have."
"Have you found a weakness?"
He shook his head.
Arrows barely pierce the thing. It has hide thick as a wall. And it's hardly engaging us except to keep us down.
Does it shoot anything other than lightning? Ozurin asked.
Not as far as we've seen, Escobar told him.
We'll help as much as we can, Shale said, and he gave them a grim smile. They thanked him and followed where the other soldiers had just disappeared.
Ozurin grabbed Shale's arm, pulling her back.
This is madness. We can't go up there. The dragon will kill us in one hit.
Shale pulled her arm free.
What do you propose we do then? Let all those people die?
He sighed.
No, I don't know. There must be a right way to do this.
Enlighten me, Shale said, because I know nothing about dragons. All I know is that I'm going to aim for its weak points. With that, she took her bow in her hand and held it up.
What do you know about dragons? Please, tell me.
Not much, the half-elf said, looking down. Shale turned and followed the tabaxi, who was watching them from the ladder.
Gods, this won't be easy, Shale thought, as Whisper pushed open the hatch to the rooftop, just as a blinding flash of light crackled through the air with scorching heat.
The spears Ozurin had placed in the four corners of the keep's rooftop stood twice the height of anyone standing on it. He suggested they might draw some of the lightning away from the people, like how a tree or a tall building attracts lightning in a storm. The dragon was currently soaring over the rest of the village as men and kobolds ransacked houses and put thatched roofs to the torch. Whisper leaned over the edge of the keep wall, watching the dragon. Then, the tabaxi roared like a dragon, light cascading around his voice to enhance the sound and send it echoing over the village. The massive dragon turned its head in the direction of the keep, banked lazily, and beat its wings to bring it higher in the air. It was coming right for them.
"Control your pet!" Ozurin swore, his writhing armor glowing over his chest.
"He's not my pet!" Shale yelled back.
"Take cover!" the half-elf yelled as a streak of lightning issued from the dragon's mouth and struck the stone.
Forks of lightning hit a few soldiers and fried them instantly. One man was thrown backwards by the force of the strike and stumbled to his feet a moment later, looking scorched but alive. Men and women loosed arrows at the beast as it rose up before them. Shale held her arrow, waiting for a weak point as the dragon turned its head. She released her breath and her arrow, and it hit exactly where she had hoped. The dragon shrieked as it flew off, a long arrow protruding from a chink in its scaled neck. Whisper and Ozurin's spells seemed to have no effect as they burst over its body and dissipated. They shot more at it, but they didn't even leave a mark. Shale drew another arrow, and, just before it flew out of range, she shot another long arrow that lodged into the back of its head. A smattering of cheers broke out from the people on the roof, and Shale gave them all an encouraging grin. The dragon had a half dozen arrows stuck in its hide. It wasn't impervious to wounds, and that was enough for now.
Whisper roared again.
"Will you stop that?" Ozurin shouted at the tabaxi wizard, who only blinked back at him and readied a firebolt in his hand. The dragon ignored Whisper this time, instead swinging low over the village into a looping dive.
"Do you know anything about blue dragons?" Ozurin asked the people around them. "Have you read anything? Heard stories?"
The soldiers around them shrugged or shook their heads. The half-elf looked terrified, and his hands were shaking. His spells weren't working, and without those, how could he fight? A mace would do very little against a flying beast.
"We've heard it," Shale said reassuringly. "We just need to keep doing what we're doing. One thing I'm not sure about,"
she paused, looking around at the other soldiers and lowering her voice,
"is why it keeps coming back for more. It's distracting us. It must know we can't beat it."
With that, the dragon flapped its wings and turned back to the keep. Shale knocked another arrow and waited. As soon as it was near enough, she shot again. Her arrow soared, followed by the smaller arrows of a dozen shortbows, and hers and a few others stuck while others clattered away, bouncing off the scaled armor of the beast. Instead of shooting more lightning, the dragon twisted and flew up and up into the dark sky until it disappeared in the low-hanging clouds. Ozurin hit its tail with a burst of green magic as it moved out of sight, and Shale held an arrow waiting for its descent. Giant drops of blood splashed down. The descent didn't come. A moment passed, then another, and finally they heard the distant screech of the dragon as it flew past the town of Greennest and struck out to the east.
"It has fled!"
The man who had been struck by lightning shouted, and a cry rose up from the soldiers. Cheers and whoops filled the night air. Ozurin withdrew a vial of lamp oil and emptied it on the ground, scooping the quickly drying blood of the dragon into the now emptying glass. He corked it and stowed it inside his coat. "Could be useful," he told Shale in Whisper as he walked to the hatch. Shale went around clapping soldiers on the backs and congratulating them on their efforts.
She helped them drag the blackened bodies of fallen soldiers into a line near the hatch so they could be taken later and buried. The living headed downstairs into the keep and were greeted by Escobar and Tarbaugh. Tarbaugh, the governor of Green Nest, was dead on his feet. He had fresh wounds since she'd last seen him. "Thank you again," he sighed, smiling at Whisper, Ozarin, and Shale. "Tell me, how did you fare at the temple?" "We killed as many as we could and brought everyone back," Shale told him, and he took her hand gratefully. "It seems Green Nest is in your debt twice over." "We are happy to fight," Shale said. "Why did the dragon attack your village?" Ozarin asked softly. The fear that had cast over his face before was now gone as he was drawn back to purpose. "I don't know," Tarbaugh said, looking troubled. "We're a very wealthy town. Perhaps that's why they attacked. Their goal didn't seem to be reckless killing. They mostly only killed those who fought back or got in the way. They're going through our homes, stealing our gold and our heirlooms." "What did they want from the temple?" "We offer a great many donations to the temple," he shrugged. Philip, Reverence, and Keelan made their way slowly up the stairs to join them. "How are you feeling?" Ozarin asked them. "Swell," Philip said, smiling. His color had returned to his face, but he still looked weary. Reverence's head had been bandaged, and Keelan was wincing and rubbing the back of his head, where a giant lump had likely formed. "What did we miss?" "The dragon flew east," Ozarin told him. "It seems I was wrong not to listen to your warnings," Tarbaugh said, looking at Reverence. The tiefling raised his chin. "Indeed, you were." Shale wasn't sure what they were talking about.
"People of Green Nest,"
a loud voice boomed from outside the keep. Whisper started barking, and Ozarin summoned a ball of yarn, which he handed to the tabaxi to quiet him.
"Hear us now."
They glanced around at each other, then ran for the stairs, Whisper lagging behind. At the top of the keep, they gazed out and saw 200 people gathered in front of the tall stone building, a mix of humans and kobolds. They stood out of archer range. At their forefront stood two impressive figures in the dawning light of the morning. A woman with deep purple robes, dark black hair, and holding a massive glaive which she leaned on lazily. Next to her stood an 8-foot-tall, blue-scaled figure with a reptilian face. His fearsome size was larger than any dragonborn Shale had encountered. What was this creature? He wore full plate armor and was draped with the same deep purple robes trimmed with golden thread. Despite their distance from the keep, Shale drew in every detail of their appearance.
"This has been a successful night, and I'm feeling generous,"
the scaled man's voice boomed, enhanced by some magical means.
"Bring forth the prisoners."
A group of kobolds dragged 4 people forward and threw them on the ground before the keep. There were 2 young children, a teenage boy, and a young woman. They were clutching each other and looking up at the people in the keep.
"That's my sister," a man cried.
Shale turned and saw the one who was previously struck by lightning. He was rushing forward, and 2 of his comrades were holding him back.
"Let go of me! They have my sister!"
"Summon a champion to fight me, 1 against 1. Fight me, and I will release the prisoners. Fight me, and we will leave."
They all looked around, and Tarbaugh clutched his injured arm, wincing. "Do you have anyone who could fight him?" Ozarin asked the governor. "A champion?" Escobar, the dwarf, joined them. "We are barely soldiers. That beast down there is a fearsome one. I don't know anyone who could fight that and win."
"Are you all cowards?"
the man whose sister had been taken demanded of the soldiers on the roof.
"Let me fight him."
"You will not fight him," Escobar growled at the young man. "You're barely on your feet, lad. That blue beast will strike you down before you can shit your pants."
"I won't let her die,"
he said, his arm still being held back as tears streaked down his dirty cheeks. "I'm responsible for her."
"Would it be shameful for me to ask you for 1 more favor?"
Tarbaugh asked desperately, looking back at the young soldier and wringing his hands. Keelan grunted from where he leaned against the stone.
"I'm strong. Perhaps I can take him."
"You can hardly stand," Shale said, looking at him. It was true. He needed to rest, not go up against a massive beast in hand-to-hand combat.
"What is your answer?"
the voice came again. "We need to come up with a plan, now before anyone else is killed," Ozarin said. "What is your name?" Shale called out over the keep.
"Are you the named champion?"
he called back.
"I might be," she shouted. "So, what's your name?"
He shook his head.
"Join me on this field and I will tell you."
"You've beaten us already,"
Ozurin shouted. Why give us this chance? Why not just take the keep and be done with it? You have enough men. The creature laughed a low, booming laugh.
It is not blood I want. I want a good fight.
I fight? Whisper asked quietly. Are you a good fighter, Whisper? Shale asked doubtfully. Sure, he had magic, but what if this creature was impervious to magic? Could she let the tabaxi die for this? Whisper shrugged in response. No, Shale said, scratching him behind the ear. No, she said more firmly, looking around at her beleaguered companions. I will fight him. You? Ozurin asked. Yes, and she added quickly, but I won't last long, so you'd better come up with a few tricks to get me out of this. Magic or something. And get the hostages out first. Ozurin nodded thoughtfully. Very well. They all looked dazed, as though they couldn't believe the events of that long night had just occurred. It's not over yet, Shale told them. Come on. She went over to the edge of the roof and shouted back, I'm coming down! Her opponent nodded, and before she could let her proclamation truly sink in, she ran for the hatch and descended the stairs, her new companions following her down. Good luck, Ozurin sighed, and Shale nodded as Reverend swung the keep doors wide open. She stepped out into the morning sun and approached her certain doom. What little trust she held for these strangers whom she had fought the night out with, she hoped to the gods that they would figure something out. You've been listening to Wings of Chaos by Alexis Vienendahl and based on the Horde of the Dragon Queen D&D campaign. For more stories written by me, you can visit my blog at alexisvienendahl.com or click the link provided in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening.